genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
We're turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, but before we get to the theme, I do have an announcement. Today is the last day of the Freeman Michaels Show. We'll be airing from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock here on KKZZ. If you want more information, go to the Freeman Michaels Show Facebook page for updates on when he will be returning. So that's just an announcement out to all of those Freeman Michaels fans who will be missing him as he leaves us from 9 to 10 o'clock each day. Now, as I said, every show has a theme, and today's theme is twos. All of my guests are going to have subjects with the number two in them. My first guest knows corporate culture and innovation are a two-edged sword. He'll be discussing the secrets to creating an innovative and creative workforce. My second guest believes every person should speak at least two languages. She'll discuss how and why we should teach our children a second language when they're young. My third guest has written a novel about steroids in baseball and whether or not the government should get involved. We'll discuss the two sides of this story. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Stephen Balzac is known as the Business Sensei. He's a professional speaker and consultant. He's the president of Seven Steps Ahead, LLC, which is a consulting firm specializing in helping businesses to increase revenue and build their client base. Steve is an engineer, an athlete, a psychology professor, martial artist, consultant, and manager. He's a fourth-degree black belt in Dajan Rag Jiu-Jitsu, and he's a former nationally ranked fencer, so I'm not going to mess with this guy at all. Steve is also the author of a new book, The 36-Hour Course in Organizational Development, published by McGraw-Hill. He has a bachelor's and a master's degree in computer science and engineering from no less than MIT. He has a master's degree in industrial organizational psychology from Capella University, and he's an adjunct professor of industrial organizational psychology and management. Wow, that's a mouthful, Steve. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Billy.
You are quite an accomplished fellow, so we're glad to have you on the show to talk about something that is very important, and that is innovation and organizational change. So I'm going to start with the basics. Why is innovation more important today than it ever has been?
Well, it is easier today, I think, than ever before to start a company. It is easier today to go to we just had Boston's Mobile Startup Weekend. You know, get together, pitch an idea, work on it for a weekend, and if your idea is selected, you get to meet with venture capitalists. Getting out there, getting new businesses, it's easier than ever. And that means that if you're an established company, somebody is out there waiting to overturn your apple cart, waiting to basically eat your market.
Okay.
And if you are not constantly innovating, constantly creating, then someone else will.
All right. Well, that makes sense, but then it begs the bigger question, Steve, which is, are most companies organized to be innovative and to adapt to this changing marketplace you just described?
Unfortunately, what I have found is that most of them are not. Ironically, what has happened to a great many companies is that the very organizational culture, the very things that drove them in the beginning, have made them unable to compete effectively today. And as an example of that, who was the greatest retailer? What is the largest retailer in the world?
Today, it's Walmart. Sears.
Why is it then that Amazon is the Walmart of the web?
Because they took their business model and adapted it faster than Walmart could.
Right, because Walmart was so focused, by the time the web came along, Walmart couldn't see what was in front of them. And I can make the same argument about Barnes & Noble. Polaroid and Kodak, of course, got slammed by digital photography.
Correct.
We all know what happened about IBM and Microsoft. Google, of course, has made Microsoft considerably less relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point, someone's going to come up there and challenge Google.
At some point, one would think that. But, I mean, history is replete with these companies that started out and then got blindsided. Going back even further to the 1860s, let's take a look at railroads. You know, railroads were trumped by the jet airplane because they refused to recognize they were in the transportation business, not in the railroad business. So history is replete with all of these kinds of examples. The question is, if organizations become so staid, so focused on what they're doing, how do they open the blinders, as you put it, to see what other opportunities are out there, Steve?
Well, there are two things they have to do, as it coincidentally. The first thing is they have to avoid four traps that companies frequently fall into.
Okay.
And these traps, the first one is perfection. The idea that if my mouse trap is just perfect enough, that no one will be able to compete with it. And this works really well until somebody comes along with a cat. In other words, companies get wrapped up in the idea that they're in the mousetrap business, and they come up with the most perfect mousetrap they can, and what they forget is that they're actually in the business of getting rid of mice.
Okay. All right. Okay. So avoid perfection.
The next thing is they get into protecting their markets. Oh, we can't do that because we don't want to hurt our existing product line. Well, guess what? You may have a wonderful cash cow, but to your competitors, it's a hamburger waiting to happen. So if you don't cannibalize your markets, they will. So one of the things that has to happen is you have to avoid the mindset that says, "Don't go here. That hurts our product line."
No.
If it hurts your product line, someone's going to go there. Better it be you.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What's the next one?
The next one is what I call the identity trap, where the company says, well, we're an X company. We're a book company, said Barnes & Noble. Or we're a photography camera company. You know, we make film, says Kodak. Or IBM, which 20 years ago, we're a serious business company. Because I remember when I was at IBM in the 80s proposing some serious game stuff, which got totally laughed. I got, you know, basically laughed out of the room, and you know, and now that's where IBM is.
Right.
But they, you know, they define themselves by their products. You'll note Apple is a very good example of a company that changed its name in order to break this definition. Apple Computer became Apple, and while it seems like a trivial thing, it represented a stepping away from defining themselves by their hardware.
Well, and that's an interesting point. We're talking to Steve Balzac, everybody, author of the book, The 36-Hour Course in Organizational Development. Steve, you bring up an interesting case with Apple, and we'll come back to your fourth point in just a minute. But with Apple, they realized soon after they had invented the iPod, which was 2001, that they really were no longer in just the computer business. You could argue that the iPod is a computer of sorts. Certainly it has more computing power than maybe the Apollo space capsule that went to the moon. But the reality is that Apple realized they were in the entertainment business, and they made that change. That is true. So avoid perfection. Don't protect your existing markets or your existing client bases. Get out of the identity trap, identifying yourself as one way or another. What's the fourth trap to avoid?
The fourth one is what I call the creeping box. And this is, you know, companies are always exhorting people, think outside the box. Think outside the box. Well, the problem with thinking outside the box, of course, is that most things outside the box don't work.
Okay.
But when a company finds something that does, for example, a little company called Yahoo. Internet search in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing. They jumped outside the box. What Yahoo didn't notice was that the box grew and eventually caught up with them. And suddenly, they were no longer outside the box, but they thought they were. And then Google came along and showed them just how far inside the box they really were.
Well, now, explain that a little bit more, because here's my recollection of Yahoo, and this is a great case example, Yahoo versus Google. My recollection was Yahoo was first with search, and they were pretty darn good. They weren't the first search engine, by the way, but they were the number one dominant player. But then they decided, oh, we'll get into email, and we'll get into building a community, and we'll get into message boards at the time. And all of a sudden, they started to diffuse what they did in search. And Google came along and said, no, we're just one thing. We are search. And they became the 700-pound gorilla in search.
That's true. But when you look at it, Yahoo came to this point in the late 90s where they seemed to take their search for granted. That seemed they had this mindset that, well, we've defined this market, we own this market. We are outside the box. We've done something new. We've done something different. And all of the other things are true, but, you know, Google's done the same thing. It's just Google has managed to keep the box, you know, keep running ahead of the box.
Mm-hmm.
They've managed to keep revising and extending and improving their search. So whereas I remember, because I used to use Yahoo, and eventually I switched to Google, but I remember, you know, Yahoo search never really changed. It got to a point, it never got better. Whereas Google search is constantly improving in one way or another. And that's a big, big difference. This idea that no matter where we are, there's always another box to get outside of. And that mindset is part of what has kept Google so dominant in that space.
All right, that makes some sense. I see what you're saying. We're talking to Steve Balzac, everybody, author of the book, The 36-Hour Course in Organizational Development. And, Steve, you said there are four traps to avoid, and those are the four traps. Now, what else does a company need to keep in mind in order to continue to be innovative through the years?
Okay, now we come to the four innovation keys. And it's not enough to just avoid the traps. You have to both avoid the traps and then implement these four positive things. First one is continuous education. That means providing people with the means to keep learning. Some companies do this, but only let you take classes in your area, in your field, in your area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Open it up. Let people study anything they want, because innovation comes from something. You have to have something to build on. And the more weird connections you've got, the more different things, the better. I mean, you look at my background, computer science and psychology, not two things that most people think of as going together.
Well, strangely enough, I do, but go on.
Yeah, you're one of the exceptions. Most of the time people go, really? Why would you do that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, no, I can see huge reasons for doing it, but go on.
Yeah. Because it gives you different perspectives. So the more things you learn, the more material you have with which to be creative. People who keep learning are also keeping their brains sharp. They're looking for more connections just reflexively. And they become more competent. They become more motivated, frankly, when they're given the opportunity to keep learning, because people who feel competent tend to be more motivated on the job.
Okay. All right. Good. So continuous education.
The next one. Now, this next one is one that upsets people a lot. It's making mistakes. You know, it's the Thomas Edison, I didn't make a mistake, I learned 1,000 ways or 10,000 ways, whatever it was, to not make a light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, innovation is a process of exploration. And in any process of exploration, you're going to take a lot of wrong turns.
And
your
the company
are treat that as a major disaster or treat it as feedback.
All right, good. So continuous education, make mistakes. In about the minute that we have left, Steve, what are the other two?
Okay. Other two, take strategic breaks. Allow breakthroughs to happen. In the famous story of Archimedes, he had the breakthrough when he jumped in the bath. Give yourself room to be creative. In other words, don't pound yourself to exhaustion and then try to keep going. And finally, be patient. Your time to start innovating is when your current product is already a success, or even before it's a success, and it looks like you don't have a threat in the world. That's when you should be starting. If you wait till you're on the ropes, it's usually going to be too late.
Sound advice about how to use innovation to keep your company, your organization ahead of the crowd. Steve, if somebody is interested in what you had to say, wants to learn more, maybe learn a little bit more about your book, The 36-Hour Course in Organizational Development, where would you direct them to go?
They should visit my website, www.7stepsahead.com, and that's the number 7, although it should work either way. frankly, if you Google my name, Stephen Balzac, you'll find find plenty of links to me and my website, to my various publications. So one way or the other should get you there without any trouble at all.
All right. Great, Steve. You are a wealth of knowledge, obviously a very well-educated man as well. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Steve. Thanks for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.